Like how churches, like right before school starts, and like the ocean just kind of pulls out, and some of the people are just not here. I don't know if it's like vacations or what, but you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't care if we have one worshiper or 10 worshipers. We just, you know, we're all here to worship God, come together as a community church. We serve a great God, so we believe that you guys are here for a reason. You know, God has an appointment with you this morning. He wants to connect with you in a bigger and powerful way. So let's all stand up where we are. You guys ready to lift your voices up today?
Hello?
What do you think, Jack?
Start with a prayer.
All right, so.
Lord God, we just come to you today, and we just, this time of year just seems like such a transition for so many people. And God, we just know that there's so many challenges. And this is the time of year we just look and say, man, what had happened to the summer? What happened to this? And what happened to that? And there just seems like to be so much stuff there. But God, let us just not forget and just focus on you, whether we're here today in presence or whether we're watching and part of our online church. God, just move in a mighty way and let us just recognize and give you the worth and the praise that you deserve. In Christ's name, amen.
Turning to you, we turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna.
Hear the sound of hearts return.
face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
Tell him about it.
faithfulness and love will stand through times of turbulence. Adopting those who call upon your name. Every generation joins in songs of grateful praise. You are.
Hey, wait, hey.
God, we just thank you for your presence here right now, and we just ask for your Holy Spirit to just fill this place and fill our viewers, fill everybody, just so that we hear that call from you, that we can really learn to depend on you, and the sun can stand still in our lives and our challenges. In Christ's name, and all God's children said, amen. Now, nobody go anywhere right yet. I want you to say hi to everybody, but we're going to go ahead and have our membership induction, so we want all the children and everybody else to stay here right now. So greet people. All right. Everybody can have a seat. It's good to get together. Isn't it good to run into people, to come together as family, and to know that one of the interesting things is, as I look around this church, I see people who had no clue who each other were, and just to see how you're close friends, but more like family. Even some people said that the people in this church are closer to you than even some of your own natural relatives, and that's just an awesome expression of faith in God. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead. We have a number of people that are going to join our church today, and so we're going to ask them to come up front, and so we're just going to recognize them. They went through our class and went through some other things, the hazing ritual. No, just joking. So they're going to go ahead and join the church. So when I call you, if you'll just come up right in this area, right here, we'll be thrilled to have you do that, and we'll ask that you go ahead and come on up, all right? So first one is Terry Charette. Terry? There she is. Terry, you can just stand anywhere you want right here. Next one we have is Jason Hash. All right. And Jessica. Were you Jenny? Okay, gotcha. All right, so let's see who else. Bob Hoffman, is he here today? I know they might be away. And Connie Hoffman, I know they wanted to. I think they're away. Bob Nichols, I saw Bob today, so come on up. You got a yay, Bob. You guys didn't get a yay. We got a yay, Bob. Bob has his own cheering section. Go ahead and slide over a little bit. We want to have everybody take a good look at you. Here we go. All right. There you go. Now you're in the spotlight. Life in the spotlight. So, all right. Here, can you hold on this, Jill? Can you help this? Okay, so the first one is Terry. How are you, Terry? This is Terry, and Terry, your name. In Scripture, name always means things. And when we become part of a family, when we're born, they give us a name. Unless, you know, they say you, it, or whatever. I don't know. But they give you a name. And so names are powerful in Scripture. Every time a name is mentioned, it means something. See? He likes that name, too. But Terry means powerful, ruler of the people. Like that? Oh, that's good. Everybody's like, ooh. Yeah, see, he's got a James Brown. Ow! All right, there we go. But I found this in the Scripture. James, the brother of Jesus, said, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so I know you from joining our church and being part of our church that you recognize that all your power rests solely in Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. And I know you're a prayer warrior, so we're glad to have you as part of our church family now. All right. Joe, can you get that for me? All right. Jason. You ready for this?
Yep.
Jason means healer. Isn't that cool?
I thought it was slow.
Slow? Okay, maybe that. Slow healer. Okay, there we go. But I went all the way back to to Exodus 15:26, where God said, "If you listen obediently to how God tells you to live in his presence, obeying his commandments, keeping his laws, then I won't strike you with diseases inflicted on the Egyptians." And this is right before they're going into the promised land and going on the journey. And he ends this by saying, "I am God, your healer." And I know that you're a man of conviction. You don't have to guess where Jason stands at all. He'll tell you, right? and he stands for what's good and what's right. And in that, I think he helps bring healing to many people because he's just a good guy that you can depend on. And he's somebody who's always there. A military guy, right? And right there, there's Marine Corps. And I know he just loves his family, loves the church, and loves just young people, and he gives his time to that. So thank you, and God bless you, brother. Glad that you're part of the church. There we go. Jessica, this is good with someone who's slow. Jessica means foresight. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "However is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for them who love them." And knowing you and seeing how you relate with your kids and stuff, you're always looking out for them, always looking ahead, even your big kid here, and you're helping take care of them. And one of the cool things about serving God is that you don't just rest where you are. You're looking, and I know you're stepping into an area to go ahead and help in Sunday school in those areas. And that's, you don't have to, but you want to. And that's an awesome thing to see how God is using you and using that foresight. You're not sure what God's going to bring. If for some chance my son Judah's in there, look out, I pray for you. But I wish, you know, you've had him before. Okay, and you survived that. But you're willing to do that because you love the Lord and you love these kids. And I'm thankful for that. So welcome. And Mr. Nichols, how are you?
How are you doing today?
Good. All right, buddy. All right, here we go. We got you. So I'm going to give you this. You know what your name means? Bright fame. That's why you got a yay, Bob, in the back. You're famous, okay? All right. So what I have here in Revelation 19:7-9. Yeah. See, we got. How come we only have one cheer from one of the youngest people for Revelation 19? But it's talking about the saints when they're all together, and it says, "Fine linen, bright and clean. was given to her, were given to the church to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. And then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the words of those who are true. Now many say, why in the world do we have that? Because guess what? We're dressed in things that are bright and clean and sparkly and shiny, better than new improved Tide could ever do. And what it is the righteous acts of God. And I know that that through, like in many people in life, when you have roller coasters, highs and lows, I know that God has reached out and connected to you in a special way through friends and family here at this church. And we love you dearly, and we're glad to welcome you officially as part of our church family. All right, Bob, God bless you. And everybody says, yay, Bob. All right, and Connie and the other Bob are on our way today, but they're joining us, and we'll welcome them. And we have some others who couldn't be here today with traveling and things, and we're going to welcome as part of our church. But it's just great to have people that really take a step of faith and say, we want to be part of this church. And we'll be having our new members in a little bit again. So let's welcome them back in the church. God bless you. Thank you for being here, guys.
Thank you.
At this time, our children can go to our Shoreline Sunday School Ministry or the nursery and other things. We'll let you get a chance to go ahead and have them go. Thank you. Where's the announcements? They disappeared. Where'd they go? Oh, they're over here. Man, if the church had just a little bit of what those kids have, right? We'd be having they'd be accusing us of being a Pentecostal church. All right. Okay, welcome. If you're visiting with us today, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you have a great time. First thing I want you to do is just go and relax. We're going to go ahead. This is a place where you can just relax and connect to God, and your kids are fine, and we're just here to celebrate the Lord, all right? Couple different things that we want to touch on is if you are visiting, please fill out the card. We have a gift for you, and we'll be glad that you go ahead and fill that out, and then we can connect with you some more. Couple other things that we want to deal with today. The end of summer service schedule will be the Sunday after Labor Day. Labor Day is a little bit later this year, so September 13th, we will go back to 10 o'clock. All right, and some of you will be like, yes, some say yes, either way, but we will be going back to 10 a.m., and then we can go ahead, and so be sure to tell everyone that schedules, okay? A couple things here, and I want to clarify these things. The community kitchen, we are serving at the community kitchen Friday, September 11th, and I know when you mention that date, it brings back a lot of memories and stuff for people of a certain age, but you see 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and there'll be approximately 100 people that are serving. If you're willing to contribute to that, help out in any way, please go ahead and make that contact with Joanne. That would be great. And then also, we've been collecting things, particularly non-perishable items, for the emergency rotating shelter, and that is not for this year. They collect in advance for a year ahead. So that's not a misprint 2016, and you didn't go through a time warp and end up here next year. That's just, they want to do that to make sure they have everything taken care of in a year in advance. So if you're willing to go ahead and contribute to that, I know in the next few months you will be hearing about when we will be serving in rotating shelter and other kinds of things like that. And so we hope that people will go ahead and sign up. Double check Parish Foundation on September 20th and be able to be connected with that as well. We do have some prayer requests that we want to touch on. Jennifer Lagullo has asked for prayer for Ree Hazlett. She's had a lot of back pain, and if it's preventing her from being here today, you know she's in a lot of pain. Also, prayers for their son Benjamin as he gets used to staying on campus and at college, and God bringing him peace there. As many of you know, it's a dual nature when you go to school. Parents are nervous and allowing their children to go, and for some children, it's also nervous when they drop you off that first time. But we know Benjamin is an awesome guy, and he's going to connect really well. Emily and Wesley Hewitt, prayers for the granddaughter Emily. She's leaving for college on Friday. So we have a lot of that going on. I know many are there today dropping people off for schools, and we want to pray for them. Robin Hildebrand has prayed for Don Smith, for lung transplant. He was home in 12 days versus the normal 30 days. So that's a praise of the Lord right there. And let me see. There's another one here from Ruth. Officer, she's requesting prayers for a friend, Mary, who is battling liver cancer. We also want to pray for our star that we put up on the screen last week, that Dot Logan fell and broke her wrist. Right, her wrist? Yeah. Her what? Her left wrist. So she will probably have to have surgery and other kinds of things with that, probably. So we want to pray for her. I just found that out this morning. So keep her in your prayers. And one last thing that we do have, I was told by a little bird, here it is, that it's Gary Ashby's birthday. Right, Gary? Gary is 25. There we go. Everybody give a yay, Gary. All right, there you go. So, just good stuff. So we want to make sure that you continue to pray. Also, definitely, it's no secret, many of you have heard what happened at Walmart the other night. We want to be at prayer for everybody involved with that, and just ask that God bring peace and that there's no other division and other kinds of things here. It's tough situation all the way around. All right? Yes. Right. Thank you. Yeah, the same night was Friday, right? A little girl named Lydia was hit in a car and killed. And was the father hit too, I believe? So, pray for the family and also the person that did that, because, that's not something that the people do on purpose. And just, there's no easy answers and no healing there. And I can't imagine the pain the family and whoever hit them are going through at this time, all right? Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this time, and we recognize that there are so many needs and many concerns, and God, only you are the answer to deal with those. You're the only one that can clean those up. You're the only one that can minister to us. And so many times in life, we find that we're weak. We feel weary, that we can't handle all these things. But we know that you are mighty. And today, as we talk about what faith is, God, help us just clarify and strengthen our faith. Not in a church, not in a person, but only in you. And so, God, during our struggles, when everything comes crashing down in life, we ask that you be with us. For those who have had illnesses and death and tragedy, just be with them, God, and just bring the only comfort that you can bring. For those who are struggling with other health issues or with loss or whether it be financial or job or whatever, for those who are struggling like Ree with back issues and other kinds of things, God, just bring what they need there. And for those who are experiencing the joy of birthdays and anniversaries and even the joy of children going to school, that young people going to school for the first time at college, we know that this can be an emotional time, but we also know that it can be a time that statistically shows that many people who were brought up in the faith tend to stray away. And so, God, as we pray for a representative of those last week, we just pray that you'll just send a hedge of protection upon those students, that they will draw closer to you, and that you'll send people in their lives to draw them closer to each other and to you. Be with the families, that there's a gap that's there from now on as they're in school until they return again at a break. But mostly, God, take this church right now. Empty it out of anything that's not of you. Let us be consistent with your word and your direction. Give us guidance and strength. Do the miraculous so that we can give credit to you. As the verse that we said for Jessica, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the Father has prepared for those who love him. God, we love you. And we ask that you just do the miraculous in the lives and ministries of each one of us. And each minister of the gospel that's sitting here today or watching online. As we continue our worship at this time and we give in your tithe and our offerings, may it be cheerful. May it be an act of worship. May it be an act of faith. So that, God, we stretch out our hands and in handing what we have to you, and you multiply it. Not for us, but for your kingdom. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. find their strength in the pleasure of things. Some put their trust in the power of kings. Some men would die for what a woman can bring, but I find my strength. In the strength of their will, some search for fame or the ultimate thrill. Some try it all and find that nothing fulfills, but I find my strength in you. 'Cause when it all comes crashing down, you're the only rock I've found that won't crumble under the weight of this world. I can run to you, I know I'll find my strength in you. Some build their lives like castles on sand, others still search for a place they can stand. Some hold their their hands, but I find my strength in you. 'Cause when it all comes crashing down, you're the only rock I've found that won't crumble under the weight of this world. When I need a place to go, I can run to you. Run to you, I know I'll find my strength in you. I'll find my strength in you. See you today. You're still there? I didn't know where everybody got up and walked out. I can't see you today. All right. Sun Stand Still. Anybody like it? Everybody like it? All right. You having good? Stepping on your toes a little bit? Yeah. I hear you. Okay. It's good stuff. Good stuff. We've been having a good time with this series today. And so we just want to embrace this as our, today we're going to talk about faith is. Faith is. So what I want to do, I want to test you out. Okay, it's the beginning of the school year, and, you know, I teach some classes, so I'm getting in my kind of teaching mode a little bit, too. So I'm going to go ahead and give you an assignment right now. Aren't you happy?
Aren't you glad you came? And for you at home too, this works. If you're sitting at home or if you're riding down the road, you got to turn to the person next to you. If you're driving, don't turn to the person next to you. But make sure that you go ahead and share this. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you. For a lot of you, you have two people on the side next to you. So one on one side, one on the other. So pick the person who looks the most interesting. If it's your spouse, you might want to turn to them. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at them, and I want you to give them a 15-second definition of what faith is. Okay? So you're in 15 seconds, somebody around you, and say, for me, faith is. Everybody with me? Go ahead. You do it at home. Remember I said pick the person most interesting. And if you want to, you can turn to another person if you're all alone, okay? All right. Okay, how many of you think you did a pretty good job? Raise your hand. Okay, there was the arrogant ones. Okay, now, how many of you, and the spouse are like, yeah, you got that one. How many of you here think you kind of struggle with it a little bit? Anybody? Okay, good. Okay, so you may be some of the honest ones. All right, so what we're going to do, it's kind of tough, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to put that in expression. And by doing so, I'm going to go ahead and share our scripture lesson today, which is a really long scripture. Okay, you with me? Really, really long today. And here it is. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to give it to you twice. So you put your seatbelt in. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and I might do verse 2 also. But it says, now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Now, I'm going to do it again in the Message version just because I can. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. The end. Told you it was a lot, right? So all of the formation of today's sermon is going to come from this definition of faith, but I'm going to bounce around today. I'm not going to stay in one last several weeks, and a lot of times I'll stay in one scripture, but we're going to bounce around a lot. But because I love you so much, I went ahead and put a lot of those verses down, okay? And you can say, thank you, Jack. That's good. Good to be polite. Now, here's the other thing I want you to do. I don't want you to sit there like you're half dead. I want you to respond. We're talking about faith in Christ Jesus. We should be excited about that. And it should be something that is passionate to us. And I want to say one of the biggest challenges to doing this series on Sun Stand Still and doing a church-wide study, and one of the things that I think is really awesome, in our size church, we have roughly 80 people who have bought the book here. Some have bought it elsewhere and that are participating in some sort of study or reading along. I think that's pretty awesome, don't you? I think it's pretty awesome. You should be excited about that. You guys are like, should I clap today or should I not? If I strengthen you, all right, there we go. All right. See, they're still not. At first, first Rose got it. The rest of them were like, huh? Wait, what? Okay, all right. All right, here we go. So let's just start with a prayer. Sound good? I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. Here we go, let's pray. Lord God, we just come together now, and the foundation, as we just read, this is the foundation that makes our life worth living. And God, I know that there are so many people that are walking around today that they just feel like everything's meaningless, that there's no foundation of anything, that everything else is running around. I'm reminded of the old hymn which said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so God, right at this point, I pray that if someone is here today or is watching, that they may go ahead and recognize that there is a firm foundation, and that's in Jesus Christ. And so God, for the rest of this time, as you reveal these things that you revealed to me, to all of us, may it not only just strengthen our faith and give us a place to put our strong footing, but that it may just have a soar as a launch pad from here and for now. And so God, just guide us through your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off by sharing five revelations or thoughts about faith, okay? And then I'm going to just unpack some other stuff, and I have something just for you today, all right? Now, when you look at Scripture, this section of Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1 primarily, and verse 2, you can add it in there. There's not lots of definitions of faith throughout the Scripture. It is here. This is a great definition of faith. And one of the things that I want to do is just open up some of the things that I've been looking about faith that I've taken that that's also been shared by Pastor Stephen Furtick in Sun Stand Still that have come to the fruition. So we're going to share those today. So the first thing is this. Faith is governed by rules and principles. Faith is governed by rules and principles, but can't be or cannot be condensed into a magic formula. Say that again. Faith is governed by rules and principles, but cannot be or can't be condensed into a magic formula. One of the reasons why I share this is because over the years, there has been a lot of warped teaching about faith, a lot of wrong teaching about faith, a lot of damaging teaching about faith, to the point where people will have loved ones that have been sick and they pray for their healing and they get sick. And they seem to get sicker, and they die. And then you have that supposed well-meaning Christian person that comes up and says, well, if you just had a little more faith, then maybe they'd still be here. Or you have someone who says, you know, if you had more faith, then maybe you wouldn't have lost your job. Or if you had more faith, maybe that loved one of yours wouldn't be addicted. Or maybe if you just had more faith. You see what I mean? Has anybody ever experienced any of these kind of situations in life? I have, as a pastor, it's one of the interesting things that I had many of you share what the definition of faith is because a lot of people in churches have decided to tell me what faith is when I would have preached something that God has given me, and I've had people at the doors before come up and say, you know, I don't agree with that. I was sharing one time about Barnabas, who means son of encouragement, and I was talking about how Barnabas was a guy who is responsible for bringing Paul and others to the faith of Jesus Christ. Barnabas is a nickname. It means son of encouragement. How many of you could have that name? And he didn't have it really easy. His real name was Joseph, but it was son of encouragement. They gave him that nickname. And he's not the one who's in lights. Not many of us have stained glass of Barnabas, right? And so when we say, if we were to go ask our Sunday school kids now, which follower of Jesus in all of history would you be? I'm sure they'd go Peter, James, John, Paul, those guys, Moses, Joshua. They wouldn't say, I'd like to be Barnabas. And I was sharing in this sermon about, I used the Where's Waldo thing, and I put Where's Barnabas, and I made like a little, and I had a little Barnabas guy that was hiding. It was kind of cool. But in doing that, in the expression, in sharing that, there was someone who was going through a lot in their own family, and she came out, and I was sharing about how in all circumstances, even when he was dealing with all kinds of conflicts, Barnabas remained an encourager because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And she came out and came to me and said, I disagree with that. That's not what faith is. And decided to tell me this whole deal about what faith was. Now, that's a little thing in a church, but when you have someone who is dying or you have someone who's addicted and someone comes up to you and says, well, if you just had more faith, that's damaging. And it gives a whole different opinion of who God is, and it's just wrong. Some people have taught that this biblical faith, a form of faith, that is anything, that if anything bad happens to you, it's because you don't have enough faith. Let's stop and think about that for a while. Has anybody had anything in your life bad happen to you? We could say Dot, who fell yesterday, didn't have enough faith, and that would be wrong, and it would be horrific to do that. And we could use Scripture to say, well, it says Dot must not be living right because they said, you know, if you trip, that he'll send his angels to guard you lest you dash your foot on a stone. But she broke her wrist, so she must be living wrong. Do you have any confessed sin, Dot? I think that's what I'll go share with her when I go see her. She might hit me with a lawnmower, right? That's not. But that's just wrong, and it's damaging. And you know what? Let's go ahead and tell the disciples that. Every disciple but John died a martyr's death. Some of them crucified upside down. Others impaled. Others beheaded and disemboweled. All for their faith in Christ Jesus. They had a faith in Christ, and they died for it, all of them. Even John was exiled because of his faith in Christ. And I just got to say this. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. God is way too big to be confined in a formula. Faith is governed by laws and principles. Yes, God uses laws and principles, and we're going to look at some of those today. But God is too big to be confined into a name it and claim it thing. That if I say five amens, thank you, Jesus, or yo, Bob, or whatever, if I say all those, that doesn't mean that God says, oh, got to the third one, go ahead and do it. God is way bigger than our formulas. Now, some of you may have encountered some of these dumb Christians that say that they're walking in faith, but they're not really people of faith. Because faith, true faith, is not a formula. It's way bigger than this. So that's the first one. Everybody good? Number two, our faith is not in our faith. That's not a typo. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in the faithfulness of our God. Anybody here? Our faith is not in our faith. It's in the faithfulness in our God. And I'm going to share with you what I mean here. What did the writer of Hebrews say? Faith is confidence, or is in the substance of things we hope for, and in the assurance or in the evidence of things we do not see. Many of us often lose faith because we depend too much on our faith. What are you talking about, Jack? I'm kind of confused here. Look through the scripture. The Bible is all about people and faith struggles and faithless people who are rescued by a faithful God. This is our story and theirs, and I'm going to give you some example. It's not faith in ourselves. Joshua didn't say, son, stand still because I have faith. He said, son, stand still because I have a faithful God. Moses didn't say, part the sea because he had faith in his own ability, because he had faith in a faithful God. Let's look at some of these. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are what? He remains what? For he cannot disown himself. Galatians 2:20 says, what? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by what? In who? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. My faith is in Jesus, the only faithful one. In the Bible, God did not give up on the faithlessness of Adam and Eve in Genesis. Remember Adam and Eve? They messed up. God did not give up on them. Even after they disobeyed his commands, God made a way. The faithful God is found when he found a faithful person named Noah. When everybody else on the earth was faithless, he utilized Noah to save the earth. There's a faithful God found in a guy we talked about 2 weeks ago. His name was Abraham. And God chose him in the Ur of the Chaldeans and brought him when he was late in age and said, I will give you descendants. And he laughed and thought it was pretty funny. But he was faithful to God. We have a faithful God who raised up a man I spoke about a little bit last week, Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a hole in a pit, sold into slavery, got some favor, ended up, he was a good-looking guy and had a lady chasing after him. And guess what happened? He went to jail again, forgotten about, for 13 years. For 13 years, he dealt with this. Yet he remained faithful, and even when his faith wavered, he remembered the promise that God said that you will be the one that I am going to use. And he used him to save not only the Egyptians, but to save Israel in a time of famine. God found Moses and used his faithfulness. When people were crying out for years and years in slavery to the Egyptians, he used the faithfulness of Moses, and the faithful God never forgot them and brought the people out of Egypt. He raised up a faithful new leader, somebody named Joshua. Have you heard a little bit about him the last couple weeks? Who was one of two people when Moses was leading, who went to the promised land and went in, and everybody else said, they're big. You might remember those of you who were here when my father gave the sermon. He talked about the grapes and how plentiful they were and how they had to carry them and how it was a massive, massive place of abundance and blessing that was there. And yet there were some other people in there. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two who said, we can go get them. Remember I said, there's giants there. We can't go there. And he said, no, God has given it to them. We serve a faithful God. It wasn't Joshua saying, I can go in there and kick some butt. He said, God has given us this land. Let's go take it. He had his faith in a faithful God. And you know what that got him? It got him hanging around with the wrong people 40 years in the desert. But guess what else it got him? It got him a trip into the promised land when everybody else died out. God was faithful. The faithful God raised up judges to deliver Israel when they sinned and forgot about God. This book of Judges, I think we could add the next book of Judges here today, where once again the people did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot about God. And then once again, they cried out to God and God sent a judge who rescued them. A faithful God raised up a little shepherd boy named David when nobody else even thought about him. Even, think about this, even his own family, when Samuel came to anoint the king from Jesse's family, they bring every brother out and they go, oh yeah, there's that little scrawny guy named David. Your own family forgot about you. How does that leave you feeling? His own family forgot about him, but God saw him and replaced the faithless King Saul with a faithful King David. Out of David's lineage came the faithful one, Jesus, who rescued his people and all people from sins. But it didn't stop where the faithfulness of God didn't, when Jesus ascended to heaven, didn't leave it there. He, in the book of Acts, and today he left his Holy Spirit through his church to cast out demons, to heal people. He led 3,000 to salvation on the day of Pentecost in one sermon by the Apostle Peter. And it's the nose motley looking bunch of tax collectors and fishermen and whatever else they were, changed the world and turned it on its axis forevermore. And it's never been the same. All through his Holy Spirit. And there's a faithful God who today gave you breath in your life and has given you breath since the day you first were created and has been with you on every mountaintop and every victory. I want you to say this with me out loud. My faith is in the faithfulness of my God. My faith is in the faithfulness of my God. We need to speak those things out loud at many times. Number three is this. Faith, and I'm going to get a little bit deeper here. Ready? Everybody go deep? Everybody say deep? All right, there we go. Faith is not a drug to sedate you through the life you hate. It is a force to transport you to another realm of reality. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not a drug to sedate you through a life you hate. It's a force to transport you to another realm of reality. Now, right now, everybody's thinking Star Wars and Star Trek. I got it. Beam me up, Scotty. Yeah. What I want to say about this is many people use faith as a coping mechanism. It's not. It's a nuclear bomb in spiritual warfare. Many will choke down their faith like a tranquilizer. Oh, man, stuff's going bad in life. Let me take the faith. Whew. Okay, I can say God's in control. Yeah, it's bad, but I have faith. You with me? Just to numb us into this and say, oh, yeah, yeah. Can't pay the bills, but I got faith. Don't. Yeah, you got to have faith. All right, sorry. Got to be an 80s kid to figure that one out, okay? Ask your parents, kids. The purpose of faith is not so you can cope in your situation. The purpose of faith is to change your situation all for the glory of God. Faith is active, not passive. In Hebrews 11:1, it's the only definition of faith you'll ever need, which is this. Now, faith is confidence. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Throughout the Bible, there are not definitions of faith. There's one definition of faith, but there are numerous demonstrations of faith. If we had the time, I challenge you, here's your homework. See, I told you I'm in this school mode. Here's your homework. I want you to read through Hebrews 11. It's not too long, but it's awesome. If you're going through a tough time, it is inspiring. By faith, God did this. By faith, God did that. By faith, Abraham, who was old in age, did this. By faith, and you're getting built up by people from the Old Testament, from the beginning all the way through, that God is instilling. And the writer of Hebrews is just reminding us about the faithfulness of God. So if you're going through anything in life, let me just say this. If you're breathing and you're living, you need this. Because life's full of it. Whether it's good, bad, high or low, you're going to need some jolt in your life about this and a reminder about what God did. But I want to take you to one of these sections of scripture, which I think is one of the most awesome, and it's about a guy who kind of gets second billing to in when it comes to talk about the Old Testament prophets, because his name's similar to one guy, and he was his a protege, but he's just a really cool guy, and his name's Elisha, not Elijah. Elijah gets top billing, but Elisha gets some, he's a really cool guy. We know that he's bald because kids make fun of him, and he calls a curse down on them. So let's hear it for those who are bald. All right? And he said, they call him Old Bald Head, and he calls on God, and the bears chew him up. It's kind of an interesting story, but don't make fun of people who are bald. That's the rule of that story. All right? But in that, so in, and all the bald people say, there we go. All right. I don't have no clue where that came from. Okay. But it's in 2 Kings. Here's this guy named Elisha, and Elisha is in trouble one day. This is one of the other things about Elisha. He kind of gets himself in situations, but he is so trusting and has so much faith in God that crazy, just wild stuff just happens. And then one day he's in trouble. He has a king who doesn't like what he's saying, and he sends an army to wipe him out. His servant gets up, goes outside the tent, and goes, uh-oh, chariots and horses, we're in trouble because it's just me and you. And he says, uh-oh. Now let's take you here. I got to print it here. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, when the servant of man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he goes, oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do? Now, I'm sure he might have said a lot of other things. They probably made it PC and nice for church. But I'm sure he said, oh, my, whatever, you know. And then he said, what shall we do? The servant asked. There's some other things. And Elisha prayed. Listen to what Elisha prayed. He didn't say, well, let's grab something. Let's fight to the death. Let's do this. He said, he walks out and he says, God, open my eyes. Open his eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of the servant so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In other words, he said, those who are for us are greater than those who are against us. Because I have a faith in God. I have a tremendous faith in God, and I know. And he said, don't sweat the small stuff. And this, can you imagine a servant? What do you mean small stuff? I can't fight. You can't fight. You're just praying. And I'm sitting here. I'm like, hey, I don't want to die. And he says, open his eyes, God. And boom, he saw the hills full. And they routed them without even doing one thing but praying and having faith in a faithful God, a tremendous faith and faithful God. You could see, because he knew it wasn't like, oh, all I can do is pray. Oh, God, please get me out of this, please. Anybody said that prayer? Yeah, I promise, God, if I'll leave this Elisha guy if you just please let me get through. I promise, God, I'll never do this again in my life if you just give me a mulligan. Right? Golfers. All right. He didn't do that. He knew that faith in the faithful God was a nuclear weapon that was going to win the battle. Remember when we started talking about a new way to pray, the first part of this? I think that's the hardest thing for us to get over, is that we pray very simplistically. We pray not, and believers, many of us pray and don't expect God to do anything. And the other thing is, we pray and don't expect us to have to do anything in the midst of that. And that's not how God is. And so the writer of Kings just really lays this out for us in a powerful way. Faith opens your eyes. It sees, when we begin to see with the faith of God, we see that God is already at work for you. We see that God is already fighting for you. And we see that God is faithful. Now we got to have a balance in this, because there's some people who are ultra churchy faithful that everything they think is a demon. Like if I came in and I said, I got a headache. Lay hands, foul demon spirit of headache. I'm like, okay, in the name of Jesus, you're healed from the headache. Awesome, you want to do that? But I'm still going to take aspirin. You know, because God will require me to do stuff in order to bring about healing. You know, I don't think that's wrong. So then other people believe that faith means that nothing bad happens to your life. But the Bible talks about that all the time. We shared about that, that because of their faith, they suffered. Not in spite of their faith. Others use faith as a security blanket. Oh, it's bad, so I'm going to wrap up in my, here we go. I'm going to wrap up in my Bible today. I got to go to work, and I don't like that. I got to pay the bills. I got to watch the Ravens. You knew I was going to get it in there. You knew it. All right. What I'm saying is, it's not just that security blanket that we have. And I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I had a blanket. I had a couple. But they were the old style blankets that were like knit, and they had that little silky. Oh, yeah, you're right. And I had this blanket, and it was my blanket. And it got to a point where it had a hole in it. My dad tied it in a knot. And it was great because I could use it as a weapon against Jill. I could lasso her, and I did, right? It was great for that. But one day, there was, and you know, that little silky fringe kind of came off. And one day, I think we were wrestling around with it, and she got a hold of it, and it pulled off. Right? My blanket was not doing what it needed. I lost a little silky piece. And my mom had to sew that little stitch back on. And then I was like, I got my blanket. Right? I was 25. No. But you see, many of us use that as, use the word of God like I use my security blanket. Oh, this little silky piece right here. Wait, what do you, well, you said no weapon formed against me will prosper, and people are beating me up. You said that you would always be here, and I can't feel you. Like, come on, God, give me that little silky feeling. Right? Faith is not that silky little feeling. People died. There is a whole book. I didn't bring it today. I've got a book this thick called Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's about people who still today are dying for their faith around the world while we're playing games in churches and just saying, oh, isn't this great? There are people who are dying for their faith. And we're feeling warm and fuzzy and saying, you know, we got to sit on a pew. You got to sit in an upright thing. Why don't we get recliners? Where's that couch that was in here around Christmas time? You with me here? We should be a little bit more uncomfortable in our faith because there are people that are our brothers and sisters that are dying day in and day out while we're just enjoying the silky little comfort on the one side, and their faith is putting them on the front lines of death each and every day. And we should do something about that if we're really family, the family of God. We shouldn't just sit by and say, oh, isn't it great? I checked my card in. I'm good. All right? You so instead of, in our own life, instead of saying, I don't have a job, but I've got faith. Instead of saying, you know, I don't have a relationship, but I got faith. How about you have this faith? How about you have this faith that says, God, I don't have a job, but I'm going to trust you. And today I'm going to get my butt out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to wait around till 1 o'clock. I'm going to go out. I'm going to hit the pavement. I'm going to check out every single thing. I'm going to dress up nice. I'm going to walk into places. I'm going to go ahead and make myself known. And I'm going to trust in the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of the Son, Jesus Christ, that you are going to make a way that I'm going to make a job. I'm not just going to sit here and say, I got my faith. I'm going to go ahead and do something about it. Anybody with me? All right, so I just want to make sure, okay? Have faith in God, but get dressed and go out and do it, all right? Number four, everybody good? Hope is the blueprint, but faith is the contractor. Hope is the blueprint, but faith is the contractor. Hebrews 11, again, says we have confidence in what we hope for, and when I hope, I have a desire. Desires that line up with God are good things. The Bible tells us that no good thing will be withheld from me. In Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will do what? Give you. Don't you like that? How many like to get stuff? How many like presents? How many like presents? Okay. So those of you who didn't raise your hand, take note, family. You don't have to buy them squat for Christmas. I like presents. I like giving presents. I like getting presents. Good ones. Right? And what we know is the Bible says no good thing. A good thing is anything that matches with God. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Because the desires of your heart should be the good things because they should be in accordance with God's word and his desires. Isn't that cool? So if you have something in your heart that you like, so your hope and desire in something, if it matches up with the Word of God, is a good thing. And the Scripture tells us no good thing will be withheld from you. So if you want to get some good stuff from God, then get in line with God. If not, don't expect to get it. You know, give it, and then if you're, once you have a desire, don't just keep griping about why you don't have it. Go ahead, give it to God, lay it at his feet, and leave it there. There was an old hymn. Some of you might remember this old hymn called Leave It There. Anybody remember that old hymn? It's a very obscure hymn. But the whole thing was, if you have a problem, you have a worry, you have a care, leave it there. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. Leave it at him. Let him deal with it. Because guess what? Those problems that we have in life, remember, faith is not freedom of problems, but if that's a burden to you, like the Apostle Paul said, I have a thorn in my flesh. I pleaded with God to remove it. But guess what? He told me, my grace is sufficient for you. Leave it there, move on, and let God work it out. Because he's got some other gifts for you if you'll just get in line with him. So many think that faith is telling God your hope and kicking back and just waiting for God to do something, but it's not. James teaches it in the New Testament. He says, faith without works is what? Dead. When you pray and hope for something, it activates your faith until what you hope for becomes, you keep doing that, keep lifting it up. Pray for it, hope for something, it'll activate your faith until what you hope for becomes a reality or until God replaces it with some other good thing. You may want a baby. You may want a baby, and you might have been praying for a child. You may have been praying a child. I want to tell you this. Don't limit God on how he brings it to you. Some people over the years, I had one person who was a young Christian wrestling with stuff probably 15, 16 years ago, who was wrestling with this, couldn't have a child. And they approached me, and they said, what do you think about in vitro? I said, use it. Who am I to limit God what he can do? He has revealed that to people. We live in a time where the medical field can do these things. Hey, as I read it, every child that is conceived, God said, is fearfully and wonderfully made. And if they are fearfully and wonderfully made, I don't care how they do it, God has a plan for that life. And I said, so go ahead and do it. And you know what's really cool about this? This person did it, had a child, and then later got pregnant again without it. That's the God we serve. Or maybe you may have tried that route, it didn't work, and maybe God opens the door for adoption. Do you know how many people are in the world that need a parent? So don't limit God and how he does it. And you know what? If he wants you to have it a natural way, enjoy. Hallelujah. Praise God, right? That's how it works. Number five. Everybody good? Hearing the word, this is my favorite one. And this is our last one that we're going to do here. Don't get too excited because it's involved. But anyway, here we go. Hearing the word initiates faith. Speaking the word activates faith. Doing the word demonstrates faith. Hearing the word initiates faith. Speaking the word activates faith. Doing the word demonstrates faith. I love this concept. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us this. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You look at the other person, the one that you didn't think was so interesting at the beginning of service. Look at them and tell them this. You're smart. Why are you smart? You were smart to come today. Because guess what? Today you have heard the word of God. For those of you who are watching a church online, you're smart because you're hearing the word of God today. And what that is doing, it is initiating your faith. It is giving you an investment and a building in it. When I was in Lewis Church one time, my parents knew some people there because mom grew up in Milton, and there was some people who attended there, and they came to church, and my mom's like, oh, you go here? And the lady made this statement. She said, oh, we never miss because we don't have a clue what Jack's going to do. Okay. So, and that day I think I did some, like, I was dressed up and did some dramatic reading thing kind of thing. I don't know what I did. But what she was saying is, and this should be any time, not about me, but it's about the Word of God, that we should never want to miss out on hearing the Word of God because we never know what God's going to do. I can read a verse of scripture a billion times, and God will do something new, and it'll knock me off my seat. I've had people say, I read through the Bible 3 times. Great. Did God speak to you during that? Did it knock your socks off? And when you really open your heart, you find out that God does do those things. I love to keep people guessing. I've referred to myself as God's carrot top because I have props at times. But I will tell you, a lot of times I will keep people guessing, but I tell you one thing you will never have to guess about, and one thing I will always be true to. I will always have a Bible up here, whether it's here or electronic, and I always will give you what's from the Word of God. And I will never, ever compromise that. Why? Because hearing the Word initiates your faith, and when it's spoken, it activates you. What does this mean? When I was younger, I didn't quite know what speaking the word meant. I kind of thought, did that mean I had to go into dumbness, flubness, and whatever is, Corpus Christi, Fritos, whatever I was going to say, and singing a Gregorian chant kind of method, or whether I had to say the thing, or whether I had to pronounce it like Jesus, you know? I didn't know fully what speaking the word was. But what I've learned more and more, and I want to share this with you, is that I believe what God wants us to do is speak the word of God to our lives daily in many ways. Hearing the word is like a car. It's like you put the key in the ignition. So when you hear the word today, after church you'll hear, boom, 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 boom. Speaking the word is vroom, right? It cranks it up a little bit when you speak the word of God. We need to crank it up. It leads us to a new dimension of our faith. Speak the word and meditate on it. Just think about it. In Joshua 1:8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You notice he doesn't say, keep the word of God in your heart. Keep the word of God in your hand. Where does it say? In your mouth. Speak it to yourself. Some of the best sermons I have ever given have not been here. Some of the best sermons I've ever given have not been in a group study. Some of the best sermons I've ever given are in the mirror to myself, or as I'm riding down the road, talking to myself. So here's what I'm going to do today. Some of you may have a problem with that ordination. I now ordain you to go ahead and preach to yourself. Everybody feel good about that? Some days you may be like me and you might just wake up a little bit warped in the world. Anybody wake up warped? You're just angry. You're frustrated. You know what? Start to speak this to yourself. Self, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Try that the next time you wake up a little bit ticked off. So in doing this, I want to finish the sermon this way. You're like, oh my gosh, he's got a ton of blanks. And I said, I know. But I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll go ahead and pass these back. Melinda has them in the back. If some of our ushers will go ahead and pass this. I want to go through briefly, really quickly, some things that came from the book and I think are really good to help you preach to yourself. Everybody's going to get a copy that you can put anywhere you want to. You can take a picture of it, put it on your phone, whatever you want to do with it. And these are 12 audacious faith confessions. And here's what I'm going to do. We're going to break these up really quickly. You're going to help me read through them. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them. We're just going to say them. But I want you to help me, okay? All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to see who the best is here. So the middle section, you're going to help me with the first four. You ready? Middle section. Here we go. We're going to put it up on the screen. Number one, I am fully forgiven and free from all shame and condemnation. Number one, that was pretty weak, middle section. Let's try better. Number two, I act in audacious faith to change the world in my generation. And on the sheet, you will have scriptures. This is more homework. You're like, oh my gosh, you got homework. That has scriptures to back it up, and we'll make sure that it's also online. And I want to thank Jennifer Lagullo for actually making these for her group, and we stole it. Okay. Number three, everybody together with me. I have no fear or anxiety. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Would that change your day if you had no fear or anxiety and you just trusted in God? You're darn right. Number four, I am able to fulfill the calling God has placed in my life. Number five, I am fully funded to do everything God has called me to do. Or fully resourced is another manner to explain that. That you have everything that it takes. My dad told me a long time ago. I was looking at going to seminary, and I had no money. And my dad looked at me and said, God pays for what he orders. I left seminary, and they gave me a $2,000 check because I had overpaid. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to school and try to get my mortgage taken care of. Number six, I have no insecurity because I see myself the way God sees me. If you know what? A lot of the problems that we experience in life, if you could just see yourself as God sees you, would fall by the wayside because you are his child. You are the love of his life. I can tell you when my kids come in, when they come into the room, even if I'm ticked off, if they come to me and they're like, Daddy, and they put that face on. Daddy, can you? I'm like, yeah. All right? It does something to your heart because I see them as my babies, right? They're my babies. Number seven, I am a faithful future or a faithful spouse and godly parent. If you're not married, you can put future to those things if you want, or you can just say, I'm a faithful person. Number eight, I am completely whole physically, mentally, and emotionally. Oh, my. Boy, that is a faithful step, isn't it? Because I can see you guys here, and you can see me. And you know that sometimes it isn't all clear, right? And so in that manner, that's what we have. I am increasing in influence and favor for the kingdom of God. Number 10, I am enabled to walk in the sacrificial love of Christ. Just add that one to your list tomorrow and see if God doesn't give you an opportunity to give sacrificial love. Number 11. I have the wisdom of the Lord concerning every decision I make. Wow. Wouldn't that be cool? Every decision. That means the little things. That means when you get up in the morning, you say, God, what should I wear today? You pick that out. You say, God dressed me today. I'm looking fly. Right? I don't care whether green and purple doesn't match. That's what God picked out for me. Deal with it. All right? Number 12. I am protected from all harm and evil in Jesus' name. Now, let me just ask you. How would that change your life and our society if we just did this? Speak the word with your family. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. With the family, first thing in the morning, last at night, quit telling God how big your mountain is and tell the mountain how big your God is. And the last thing that we're going to share today, doing the word. Doing the word in the equivalent of the car illustration is driving off. You know, I remember as a kid getting in and playing like I was playing car. And if my dad sometimes would let me, like before I got my license, he let me turn it and start it up. I was like, ooh. And I play like I'm driving. Anybody do that? Hey, honey. You know, that kind of stuff. Ooh, hey, you wanted to get in the car? Guess how far I went? Nowhere. It wasn't until I put it in drive and began to drive that the action happened. James says, don't tell me you have faith if you don't have deeds. Because faith by itself without corresponding action is dead. Saying you have faith is easy. Showing by your deeds in your life are difficult. In Matthew 14, there's the disciples were getting in a boat and Jesus said, I'll meet you there. They got out in the middle. A storm came up, and they were scared to death. They were screaming like I was when my blanket was torn up. They were screaming and yelling, and we're going to drown. And all of a sudden, they looked, and they saw this figure walking, and some said it was a ghost. And they screamed, and they said, whoa, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's I. And the only person who spoke up was Peter, and he said, if it's you, tell me to come on out. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter got out of the boat. What a great biblical example of this. He heard the word, don't be afraid, it's I. He spoke the word of his own faith back and said, if it's you, you tell me to get out. And that was all good. But what I find very interesting is Jesus never said, come on, Peter. He said, come. Every single one of those disciples could have got out and walked on water, but only one person had enough faith in a faithful God to get out of the boat and walk. And that was Peter. Today, God is telling you, don't just sit there and say, be afraid. Stop being afraid. Speak back and say, if it's you, tell me to do it. and then get out of the boat and start to walk. Because even though he started to sink, he knew that it wasn't a faith in his faith. It was in a faithful Christ that could lift him up and pull him right back out if he needed to. And he trusted him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just like today, Jesus is speaking to you. Are you responding and are you moving? It's up to you. I'm going to ask that you stand today. And as we go further in this service as our prayer of prayer time, I'm going to ask God to speak to your heart. As you hear it, you speak it and you do it. And that you take those 12 audacious faith confessions. Just try this week and go ahead and begin to speak those to yourself. Lord God, we come to you today and we know that there's a lot of things about what faith is, but you're calling us to really activate our faith. And if we apply this, God, I truly believe it's not only going to change our lives, but change our world. And so, Lord, I just feel that there's somebody here who just needs to, who's afraid. There's somebody who's watching this service, whether it's delayed or whether it's live right now, and that's just saying, I'm afraid. I don't know what I should do. And the storms are around them, and you're saying, stop being afraid. It's me. And they're going to ask you right now, by faith, God, they're just going to say, if it's you, tell me to do it. God, give them enough strength to get out of the boat. Surround them and help them recognize that you are with them all the way, that their faith is weak, but strengthen you, and your faithfulness is true. So someone here today needs to give their life to Christ. Lord, I'm just going to open up this altar right now as our Stephen ministers and we're up here. Just if someone needs to come to faith in Jesus Christ, that they'll just open their lives and their hearts for the first time. If somebody else is struggling, God, that in life, and their mountain is big, God, here's the time for them to tell that mountain how big their God is. If someone's just dealing with everything else, God, just minister to them. Help them reach out in Jesus' mighty name. As Jesus says, come. Amen.
Jack, in the spirit of stepping out in faith, my heart is pounding out of my chest. And I feel like I need to share this. Somebody needs this today. So Jack was talking about faith, and he was talking about Psalm 37:4. Delight in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. And I have to share my testimony. I have to today, for some reason. About, I guess, 12 years ago, I wanted a child, and I couldn't have one for some reason. And I said, God, if I can't have one by birth, then it's not as good. It's not as good. And he kept telling me, no, delight in the Lord, and I will give you the desire of your heart. And I said, okay, well, how do I delight in the Lord? Because I want the desire of my heart was to have a child. How do I do that? And I just kept seeking him and having faith. And he told me, adoption is the way you're going to do that. And I said, God, I don't like that. I don't like that idea. There's another mother that I'll compete with. There's another person that I'll have to be second to. And he said, no, you're not second to anybody. You know, I've got your plan for your life, and I know what you need. And I know what this child needs. So I said, okay, God. And suffice it to say, throughout that period, it was a rough ride. But I knew God had a plan. And throughout it, there was lots of different attacks, and I cut to the chase. I'm happy to tell anybody the details of this. But there was a point at which Satan told me the child they'd picked for me had a problem physically. And I had these doctors, and they were telling me, yeah, based on the data that we're getting, the child's something's wrong with the child. And I said, well, God, if something's wrong with the child, it's your child, and you gave it to me. And you know Natalie. You guys know Natalie, my daughter. She's 11 years old. She's perfect. And God gave her to me for so many reasons. And I'm blessed beyond belief. So if you have a plan for your life, make sure it lines up with God's, because he'll bless your socks off if you trust him and have faith in him. So I don't know who that's for today. Maybe it's just for me. But I hope that helps somebody, that God can move mountains. And we're waiting here for him to move us. But the truth is, we've got to step out in faith along the way. So. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Awesome stuff. So I wanted to take the lights down a little bit. So let's just forget about, you know, where we are right now. Let's just forget about these pretty lights and pretty church and pretty music and everything. Just like, just think about, just close your eyes and let's think about God. And, you know, where is our faith and where's our trust in that? You know, I mean, faith is belief despite logic. That's my definition of faith. You know, well, we can think logically about science and all that stuff, you know, and it's just, it clouds us. It clouds us from his glory and what he wants in our life. So as we sing this song, you know, don't just sing it. We're not singing words. We're not just like, just let's pick something out of the CCLI handbook and let's just sing it, you know, because it's a pretty song. You know, we're singing this song for God and the community of this church and become stronger together.
Let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation. From the start, waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you. Yeah.
he's waiting here for you. He really is. He's standing there, and he wants to just love you, okay? So I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's a hectic time of year. Just take time for God. Just take time and let him just move those mountains in your life, right? Right? Okay. I know we had a longer service today, but that was to welcome some of our members. When you see them, go ahead and tell them hello. We've got one more week of Sun Stand Still. And here's our next week's message, have the stones, all right? So you're gonna, next week I want you to come and have the stones ready to worship, okay? Okay? All right, have an awesome week. God bless.
Look inside the mystery.